Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Infection Podcast. My name is Nick Craig. You can follow me on X at Nicholas M. Craig or visit my website or our website, infectionpodcast.com. Joining me as always, Brian with an I, Aldridge. What's going on, buddy?
Well, hopefully everybody had a good Easter weekend.
Yes.
Ours was good. So if you want to find me, of course, you can get me at Boise Computer on X, or if you want to find me on GabGetter, Truth Social, wherever else, it's at Brian Aldridge. So Nick, we missed GDC this year. GDC is one that we usually don't go to, but we have discussed it in the past. Right?
Big con. What does GDC stand for, Brian?
Game Developers Conference.
Okay.
And this past one that they just had nearly 30,000 people in attendance.
All right.
It's in San Francisco, which that's one of the main reasons we don't go down there, because that's a dangerous location to be anymore.
There's no Taco Bells in San Francisco. Oh, wait, no, that's Oakland. Same difference. There's no Taco Bells anymore because the crime is so
out of
control.
Get Taco Bell. We're not going.
Exactly.
Last year they had 28,000. So it seems like COVID's kind of, people are getting less scared. Well, I don't know what it is.
Well, let me make this point. There's no more E3.
That's true. I guess they got to go to a different one.
PAX is more of a, what I'll call a consumer facing event, like it's more for the public and fans of video games, E3 and GDC are more for the industry professionals. Not that industry professionals don't go to PAX, but it's much more of a regular person event compared to GDC. But now that E3 is gone, if you're a game developer in the US, it's no longer, am I going to E3 or going to GDC? Choose one. It's I'm going to GDC because the other one doesn't exist anymore.
Now, they had over 1,000 speakers at this GDC.
Wow.
Which, that can mean this or that. I mean, some of the talks they end up giving about, you know, social justice and everything else has nothing, very little to do with games. 325 exhibitors and 730 workshops/roundtable discussions. So pretty full. Was a big conference. Would definitely be one that I think we would be open to going to at some point if it worked out. But the hardest part, as we said, is it's in California. So, but this one, they had an interesting event that happened. Now, a lot of this is kind of around all the layoffs. I mean, you got to think, if it's a game developers conference, and we've been showing the state of game development jobs here in the last, especially, 3 months, 4 months, since the beginning of the year, we've had just layoffs.
8,000.
Thousands. And
estimated.
8,000. 8,000 in 2024 so far. So how does the new generation deal with these sort of problems? Well, they decided to have what they call a screaming?
Screaming protest.
The GD Scream event.
Okay.
So that's what they called it. Here's their quote. The game industry is falling apart around us, and we're flocking to San Francisco for a week to pretend like this is fine. So let's take a minute where we all stop pretending and express just how it feels to be a game developer in 2024. So that's kind of the intro.
Wearing masks outside, very logical.
Yeah, I mean, they're masked, so they should be safe. And yes, YouTube, masks are very important and required.
Absolutely. CDC recommendations on it.
don't ban this episode.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States.
Whoa, how did this get here? What the hell?
What happened?
Whoa, what happened? What's going on here?
For the first time ever anywhere, the 45th President of the United States of America.
I think it'll have about the same effectiveness.
I don't know what happened. I just downloaded the video. I didn't put it in a video editor and combine the two videos together. I mean, what the hell happened, Brian?
I'm sure that's exactly how PC Gamer put it together.
Yeah, I do say this. Oh, sorry. Oh, wrong button. I did find I downloaded the video from PC Gamer. I'd like to read you the title of the video. Okay. This is the title. Watch a bunch of game developers scream in a public park to protest the state of the industry. That's the name of the MP4.
I have a feeling that was AI named. probably.
I don't know, but I just was like, I've never seen a video name so long. And it's like,
I know, what human names a video that?
Watch a bunch of game developers scream.
Put a description is the name of the video.
I mean, seriously, I just, like, most of the video, like, I downloaded a video from one of our local county commission meetings yesterday. That video title is NHC April-1-2024. That's a typical video title. Yeah. Not watch a bunch of game developers scream in a public park.
So here's a little
I don't know what happened to
their...
that video. I promise you, I did no work on that. That's exactly how it came from PC Gamer.
I'm sure. Okay. Well, I'm sure they have that one on file. Here says, so join us for a collective moment of catharsis, camaraderie, and caterwauling, which I've never heard caterwauling. That's a new
one
for me.
I have heard that term before.
Have
I
you?
I don't know what it means.
Caterwauling. You have to look it up. Let's descend upon Yerba Buena, which is must be that
Yerba
park.
Buena. Oh, Yerba Buena is an island in between the Golden Gate Bridge and...
Oh, well, is that where they were at? They were just screaming on
so.
It? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Yerba
Buena Let's upon
island.
Yerba Buena.
Maybe Yerba Buena Island is different than Yerba Buena.
Maybe it's all that area, but then that's an island in that area. And then the clock... And when the clock strikes noon, have ourselves a big GD scream.
Hickory, so dickory, clock, or dock, the house, whatever the hell that goes. I mean, are you kidding me? Can you imagine being such a loser that this is your... I mean, Brian, I hate to be that guy, but it's like, this is... So... Why is the status of the video game industry where it is right now? Because of the people that you clowns and idiots vote for. Yeah. I mean, that's why the video game industry is in turmoil, because the jackass that you put in the Oval Office. I mean, that's the...
Should be,
that's
the I
reason,
have to deal
the
with the consequences of my own decision!
I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, especially in California, this is the perfect place for it. How do we solve problems when they come? Here in Idaho, Scream. You know, someone will grab a gun, they'll line up and try to protect someplace. Down to California, everybody just screams.
Yeah, most other places. Yeah, grab a gun and protect what's important. Other places, scream at the sky.
Yeah, scream at the sky. That's the perfect solution to solving all your life problems.
The left, ladies and gentlemen, the left. I'll contend to you, the left.
So... this is pretty much the common state of California.
Caterwauling, which by the way is an action that a cat does, which I was not familiar with. I have a cat, but according to Merriam-Webster, caterwauling is to make a harsh cry or to protest noisily. So I guess in this fact it was a caterwaul.
So it's like having kids.
I mean, these are a bunch of man children. So, I mean, yeah, it's pretty accurate. I mean,
so,
look at the crowd.
Yeah, in here, but there you have a mix. There's definitely the game developer mix, so which is kind of sad that's where it has. You got your blue and pink haired person right there.
Wearing masks outside. You got, look at this jackass laying on a blanket holding a fist up in the air. Black Panther. I mean, seriously? Like, this is the stat. Why is the video game industry collapsing? Oh, I don't know.
I can't imagine what happened.
Couldn't possibly put my finger on it, Brian. I can't think of a dozen reasons why the industry we all love is completely crumbling before our very eyes. I couldn't possibly come up with at least a dozen reasons.
So speaking to PC Gamer at the event, Siegel, who is the person who prompted, who organized the event, said he was prompted to organize it by the frustration he's felt over widespread layoffs, like we said, and the recent Gamergate 2 controversy over narrative consultancy firm Sweet Baby Inc.
Oh, great.
So that's part of why they're screaming, too, because they got called out because of them being racists against
people.
Let's
read the quote here. When you have this many people come together in the video game industry, going to all these events, having all these people attend presentations and award ceremonies where not necessarily everyone is even mentioning the layoffs, even mentioning where the culture is currently, it all feels absurd. At the end of the day, it feels hard to be here and pretend like everything is fine in our industry, to say nothing of the world when things very much aren't. And in this case, I actually agree with this statement. I mean, it is rough in the industry, and it sucks because, contrary to some belief, Brian, we enjoy video games. We love this industry. I mean, you've been playing, you and I have probably been playing video games since we were, you know, similar ages. Obviously, you're a lot older than me, of course, so it's a longer period of time. but nevertheless, I mean, it's something that we love, that we enjoy, that, that is a hobby and passion. And some of the, and you know, they, there's these comments where the culture is currently. The culture currently in the video game industry is abysmal. You guys are trying to unionize every freaking video game studio. You want to bring in DEI consultants into every single project. I mean, it's you guys have ruined the game industry. You. Now, it's not the only factor. I mean, the economy does suck. Have you seen the new Biden Mart website?
Oh, yeah, I did see that. So, the prices of groceries.
Yeah, I mean, like, so, like, the economy, yes, obviously the video game industry doesn't have a large say over the grand economy. But you add that into it with a struggling economy right now, and all of this stuff, you know, piles up, and, you know, what's the saying, Brian, the straw, it's a piece of straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, that's kind of where we are with this industry, and it sucks because it means for, you know, unlike many other industries, these projects are typically very far out. So, let's just say everything was fixed today. Snap, you know, Thor style, snap your finger and everything is fixed. It's still going to be a couple of years before we see some of the fruits of the labor of this industry. And it's still in turmoil. Yeah. It's still in chaos. So you're looking at essentially a drought in the video game industry for what, the next 3 to 5 years? Yeah. That doesn't seem outlandish.
Yeah, there will. We're definitely going to have a lull. So they interviewed some people that were at the public scream, and I want you to hear this. So this developer Jimmy Chi, one of dozens attending the public scream, said he's seen many of his friends in the industry lose their jobs, which has resulted in the loss of houses, visas, and even deportation. Meanwhile, record profits all the time. Chi said the numbers go up, and the number isn't good enough. VC funding, which is venture capital funding, is a little poisonous because if you're an indie publisher and you get some sort of venture capital funding, you're basically an indentured indie developer. No one believes in organic growth at the top, whereas everyone knows at the bottom, organic growth makes more money over time. Why are these people so impatient? So he's acting like they're making record profits, is what he's claiming, in the video game industry, which is definitely not true. I mean, there may be certain instances where because the number of people playing video games has gone up year over year over time. So maybe a game like Grand Theft Auto, you know, when they put out Red Dead Redemption or when they put out GTA 6, that'll have record profits. But these indie studios that he's talking about, they're not, there's tons of indie studios now where 15, 20 years ago, there weren't. And now you've got it to where there's a lot of competition in the market, tons of studios putting out a lot of small games. You're not going to have record profits because you're having the money spread out over a ton of projects now where there was less projects happening 20 years ago.
I do find it interesting, and I think I want to go back to this quote here, specifically dealing with the VC
that's
funding.
That's what I thought you would find interesting.
You get some sort of VC funding, as you noted, Brian, venture capital funding, and you're basically an indentured indie developer. Yeah, that's how it works. Somebody gives you money.
They paid for all of your expenses so that you can develop a game.
Yeah, they
it's
gave
pretty
you
much
all
like
of the money.
The old, it's pretty much like the old days with the castles and the kings. Those people that were the serfs, you know, the people that were the peasants around it, the reasons that they were working and doing things for the king is because the king gave them land to live on and to farm on and to do all these things.
Well,
so
Brian,
then they were working and have to give money to the king. Go live somewhere else and don't have his protection if you don't want to pay him.
Well, let's look at a modern standard. I mean, you buy a house, you get a mortgage. Brian, can you believe that you're an indentured homeowner? You're an indentured homeowner.
Why can't I have an organic loan payments? I mean, when I have money, I'll give it to you.
You're borrowing a quarter of $1 million from somebody. And so, and then here's the other thing. No one believes in organic growth. So, but here's the problem. This guy's bitching and complaining about his friends losing their houses, their visas, and they're being deported. So how? So okay, let's play this out. So no indie devs take any VC money. Meaning none of these indie devs are going to make any money. How are you going to afford your house when your offer from
you
an
have the
indie
house
studio?
Because of VC funding. That's why they have a house.
But my point but that's what I'm saying is, so the alternative, if you don't like VC funding, is which isn't practical. Nobody self-funds. So you get these indie studios that start where for the first year, nobody is. Look at Miscreated was a great example of this. These guys were making nothing at the start. They had very little cash in Fusion. And most of them worked for nothing. Peanuts. And they made a successful game with it. They turned it into a success. But obviously, Jimmy Chi and his friends, who I guess aren't even in the country, who had a bunch of HP2 worker visas, whatever. I mean, enjoy your house payment. Enjoy making your house payment when the indie developer can't pay you because they don't have any VC funding. They have no way to generate revenue during development. I mean, this is what I'm saying about the idiocracy in this industry. In one statement, he's complaining about people not having any money and then says, well, these indie studios shouldn't take any money either. Okay. Then you're just not going to get paid.
Money should be free, man. That's the mindset. Well, that kind of defeats the purpose. Money can't be free. That's the point of money. It's at a value. It's a way to assign value to work, objects, you know, whatever it is. It's an assigned value so that you can trade. So I can do something for you and you can maybe give me cash back, or I can give you something and you can trade me back labor or produce, whatever it is. VC funding, that's the point. You don't have the money. Someone does. And so they're going to let you use that money to where then if something happens and you become successful, you can then pay it back with interest, with whatever it is the incentive is for that person to lend you money. Sure. That's their incentive. So yes, you are indentured to them to a point because they're giving you the money before they receive anything. You're getting money right now. They're getting nothing right now with the hope eventually do something. Yeah, yes. That you eventually do something and then you can give them back some money plus what they gave you, right? And so it's this whole socialist mindset of everything should be free. I should have whatever I need. We need to have universal income to where all my basic needs are met. So if I want to work, I can, you know, I can choose to do that to have a little more than I might before. That's like that mindset rather than saying, well, if I work hard, I'll reap hard, right? I'll get everything that I want. You know, if I'm willing to put in that work and put in the effort. They don't like that. That's like the opposite of today's mindset.
Live like, to quote old Dave Ramsey, live like no one else so you can live like no one else. Now, there is seemingly...
But a lot of people... Explain what that means, though, because a lot of people don't understand what he means by that, because not everybody's a Dave Ramsey listener, I'm sure.
Which is
stupid. You know, living
everybody
like
should be.
Living like nobody else is, okay, you're going to live like nobody else in that you're going to go without in the
sacrifice.
Beginning.
Yes.
You're going to sacrifice. You're not going to have everything new. You're not going to have the brand new car when you're 20. You're not going to have a place that you can't afford to live in. You're not going to have every little thing, you know, bought that you're purchasing to where you're constantly broke or in debt or living
my
off
Funko
credit
Pops.
Card.
Yeah.
So that later, when you've set up a good base for yourself and you've become somewhat independently successful, you can then live like nobody else. When all your friends are broke and poor and can't afford a car and they're losing their house in bad times because you made those different decisions than they did, you then reap the different benefits than what they're reaping. That's the whole point. The venture capitalism is kind of the same way. You're wanting to take advantage of someone else's wise decision making when you didn't make wise decisions and don't have a bunch of money saved up, but you know what, you have a talent you can offer and trade. That's pretty much what it is. Their whole life is based on the idea of capitalism, yet they hate capitalism. The fact that they have a skill that they're willing to trade in exchange for money, that's their whole thing. And what they're crying about not having is capitalism, and that's what they hate.
I'd prefer you to say that they were caterwauling about it, but that's fine.
They're caterwauling about it.
So there is one rational person in this article, but before we get to the rational person, I'd like to read you a comment from Russ Fan, who is a designer who was laid off in 2023 and spent most of his year out of work. How the hell did he afford to go to GDC? I'll just ask that.
Obviously, he's got more money. Yeah, than
I think. I think we've all been quietly screaming to ourselves, now's the time to let it all loose. Unemployed since sometime in 2023. Spent most of the year, so presumably been employed, unemployed for close to 12 months at this point. But there is a rational person here. Freelance game writer Anna Tool, who says, says that the current state of the video game industry is terrible. And says, I was just talking to somebody yesterday who said that some people are afraid to join companies if they've not already had mass layoffs because they're worried that as soon as they come on, they're going to be the first ones kicked to the curb. And of course, it has a distressing effort on the entire industry. That's a logical, realistic quote. Yeah, I'm sure that is. And I'm sure people are saying, oh, I'm not going to work for a company that hasn't already done a mass layoff because I'm probably going to be part of that mass layoff. That's a seemingly the only logical thing in this entire article. It's from a freelance video game writer.
Sometimes mass layoffs are shifting priorities too.
Sure.
It's not necessarily that they just need to get rid of people to cut expenses. Sometimes it's the fact that they're needing to, okay, maybe the metaverse isn't working for them if we're looking at Facebook or whatever it is that they've banked on being the future, and then they've realized the direction of what they thought the future was going to be is different. So then they have to get rid of all the people whose specialization are in those areas. And then if they're going to transition to having a different focus for the company, they have to hire people that are for that. One thing I've mentioned a long time ago, the company that I work for, they don't do mass layoffs. There will be turnover and things like that over time, you know, that'll look like that. But they don't do these knee-jerk hirings. And that's what we saw a lot, especially during COVID. All of a sudden, you had everybody in California offering super high-paid jobs, all remote, just laying it out there, trying to get everybody they could because, you know, as we talked about on here, they thought all of a sudden the COVID was going to make it so everybody was at home all the time and they needed video games to play. So they thought that it was going to be a huge advancement in the number of games sold and the amount of money in the industry. Well, when all of a sudden they realized that people were going to be allowed to go outside eventually, that kind of dashed their hopes, you know, and people weren't going crazy. And then the economy started to tank and then people did quit buying. You know, I mean, it's been this transition to where now we're looking at the industry now. My company, because they didn't hire a ton of people on kind of a gamble, because when you gamble, there's a possibility you're going to lose, but you're going to maybe win big or you're going to lose big. Well, not all companies gamble, but the video game industry, they like to gamble. They go all in, and you know what? They lost big on this one.
Yeah.
What they thought was going to happen didn't, and it was a bet that they made that now is kind of coming back, and they're having to pay it. And this, we're in the middle of it right now. The debt's being paid, and it's in people's jobs.
Let me try and provide some shade, some cover here for the video game industry. They are not alone. There is dozens of industries that made the same decisions, and again, were flushed with cash. Governments did this that were flush with cash during COVID. And all of these companies made these decisions, and you don't fault them for making those decisions. It was, Brian, you know what I mean when I say this. It was free money. Obviously, I'm fully aware there's no such thing as free money. But it was free money. They took advantage
of it.
Free
to them in their minds.
Yeah, well, and it went for all intents and purposes, for them, it is free. I mean, they literally had the federal government just waving the flag saying, oh, are you employing essential employees? We're going to forgive all. We're not going to charge you any sort of payroll tax for the next 8 months. And that payroll tax is a huge burden on business. So, you know, with that, these companies were able to make a boatload of cash flushed in. And with that, you hire people. So this is not the only industry, but as you noted, the industry made that gamble. It was obviously unsustainable long term. And unfortunately, we are in the position we are now due to that. I don't wish that this happened. I'm not happy that this is happening. But it's not just the video game industry. It's the status of the entire economy right now. And the fact that these people are so dense and can't wrap their head around it, you know, the Brian, in their realm, the earth revolves around them. They are the sun in this regards, right? The whole globe revolves around them and their industry. And it could not be further from the truth. And, you know, it's so pompous and arrogant, but not surprising, unfortunately.
Well, and I want to repeat one thing that we mentioned, I know, in the last couple of weeks. Another thing that we're also seeing over the last, I'd say, 5 years has been so all this DEI funding. You know, part of that that controversy we talked about last week with the consultants, you know, the DEI consultants, part of that has been because the economy and things starting to turn in the gaming industry, that was funding from the government. That the government said, if you come in and have these consultants consult you on your game, you will qualify for loans, for these various loans for your game studios, for various projects. That's why all of a sudden you had studios willing to throw Black Lives Matter flags and all the gay pride flags and everything all over their game, because if they brought these consultants in, they then were able to get loans, super valuable loans, because they were not at super high interest rates. They could get ones that were much better rates. And now we're seeing that happen.
ESG loans.
Yes, ESG, that's what they're called. And that's really what is now, people are starting to see the effects that that consultancy is having on the product in the video games. And so some studios are getting their hats handed to them because of that. It's like you were trying to save the company, so you drastically altered your product, you know, based on the recommendations of these groups. And now you've got people who can see it, and it's so obvious, and now they don't want to play your game anymore. And so which one was worth it, right? Maybe having to hold off on your product, but still having a game that people loved, or getting it out now and having a game that possibly people don't want to play because of how woke it is. I mean, that's where we're at and now those are about to end. I think the funding for those are coming to an end. Well, then we're seeing people getting laid off because they can't get those loans anymore.
The DEI, so it's a sad state. The diversity, equity, and inclusion, or as one of my listeners rightly put it, Brian, it should be the diversity, inclusion, and equity, the DIE, initiatives that are taking place, is projected to be a $15.4 billion industry by 2026, within 2 years. $15.5 billion freaking dollars is what we're talking about.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if there's a change in the government, that might not be the case, because Biden's willing to sign off on everything and say, we'll do these loans. We'll do these loans. Let's say Trump comes into the office. He's not going to want to have the government giving out DEI loans. So that would overnight make a big effect on that whole process. So we'll see. It's been frustrating. You know, they talk about Gamergate 2 and all of this. I just want to get to the point. One I saw was there is a game that's come out, something soul, what is it? But there's a girl in this video game, something Blade. And she's an Asian girl who, has a body that they say is unrealistic. And so they start bashing this game saying, you know, they don't, obviously the people who made this game have never seen,
you have a link to it?
Something Blade.
No, it's not a. There's no. It's not Bayonetta, is it? Or is there a new Bayonetta or something coming out? Okay.
Maybe. Oh, I wish I had. I didn't. I don't have it in front of me.
All right, keep going. I'll find it.
Yeah, it was on Twitter, but it's been talked about quite a bit. Maybe search for Grums on Twitter, because I know he's been discussing it quite a bit. But this, they said that this body style. So you know, the liberals are saying, obviously, the people who have made this game have never seen a real woman. Well, the woman that the body is based on Here we go. It's here's one. I've got. I'm gonna. I'll give you a link here really quick. Oh, I gotta see how to actually share out of here. We go. Okay, I'll put it in our notes here really quick. This is just one example. I'll put it on random. So if you go there, so they were saying, you know, it's not realistic. This person that's the model is the creator's wife. That's the creator's wife right there that they're showcasing, who's doing the body scan for the character in the game.
Look at all those face cameras. That's I didn't realize they do that's a full how body 360. Scanning work. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so they have you stand. Normally what they'll do, right now she's doing a pose that's not, you know, that it's probably for a specific, you know, making a specific pose. But when they're scanning her body, they'll have her put her hands in the way that like the UE4, UE5 models are, or the Unity, where her hands are out to the side or kind of down, you know, at an angle to her side. They'll scan them like that, and then they'll rig them, you know, and then it'll be a character that you can run around with. So they're claiming that
It is literally Bayonetta.
Oh, it's a Bayonetta. Okay, sorry. Yeah, I've never played it.
No, I'm sorry. That's just...
No, Stellar Blade. That's it.
Okay.
Stellar Blade is the name of the game. And so they said it's unreal. The face that they're using for the character in the game is the artist who drew the artist that works on the game. That's the face. His girlfriend or wife or whatever is the model.
Good for
him. They're saying that this is an unrealistic... You know, they've obviously never seen a woman. It's created from a woman by a woman. and they're saying it's an unrealistic expectation.
Yeah, that backfired pretty handedly.
Yeah, it's frustrating that they go in and their version of what a woman really looks like is someone who's a minimum of 300 pounds. And you know what? That's maybe now that's what the average woman is starting to look like. But you look 20, 30, 40 years ago, that wasn't true. Yeah. So that's the character that they say is totally unrealistic.
Even though we just saw the video of the literal person being body scanned.
That's the body of that girl, the wife of the video game creator.
That's hilarious. And then that is absolutely the artist hilarious.
Who's going in and actually creating the 3D model. It's her face. They just had her put her face on the character.
And
it looks
that.
Very close to her.
That's hilarious. Owned.
You know.
Burned.
Yeah. So, I mean, that you know, totally unrealistic body expectations, right? Well, okay. Except for, I mean, that's who it is. They just don't like because that's a difficult body to have.
Wow.
But if you look at when I was young, 40 years ago, we had He-Man. We had all these things. You know, I didn't feel like I had to look like He-Man. I wasn't shamed that I don't look like He-Man. Right?
Nowadays
they feel like, well, it was like you can't have someone in a game that has an unrealistic body type. That was part of the fun. Old Conan, He-Man type of. I mean, these were guys that were bigger and better than you in whatever way. That's the expectation. But now they say, well, women need to look like me. No, they don't. Yeah, that's the face of the artist.
Totally unrealistic.
Yeah, can't look like that at all. So.
You know, it is, I don't know if you mentioned this at the top. This was coming from an IGN article, reading directly from the IGN article here. They quote Bayonetta. It says, "It's not new, and other games have chosen to highlight the strengths of their female characters. But where a Bayonetta stands out with an iconic character design or a 2B from some other group, an entire generation of cosplayers, Eve from Stellar Blade is just bland. A doll sexualized by someone who has never seen a woman." Talking about the developers of the game.
So they're saying that, obviously this person who created it has never seen a woman. The person who created it is a woman. And Nier Automata is a video game, an Asian style, you know, from Asia. Some video game that came out from there that's kind of a similar look.
There you go. Wow.
So yeah, I thought that was interesting. I thought it was interesting, but that's what they're fighting against. It's like, well, what's wrong with having a girl that looks like that? They want to have one. So let's say we're doing a game where there's a lot of running and there's war or fighting. Do you think the 300-pound woman is going to be the best person to accomplish whatever it is you're trying to do in the video. Not everything in video games are realistic, but let's say it's now something where there's a lot of physical activity. Are they going to be 300 pounds?
They're just fat shaming.
But it's true. They're not going to be 300 pounds. Now, they're not going to probably look like that girl with their fake boobs and everything else, but they are going to be in shape, and that used to be the normal. People weren't, but for the most part, people weren't fat back hundreds of years ago, and the people who were fat were the kings and queens, the people who had the luxury, and so they viewed beauty with fat people, and we've reached like the opposite view of beauty now, because if you're not taking care of yourself and you're not eating well, you become fat, where back in the day, you would get skinny and die of starvation if you weren't eating right or able to eat. So it's like we should be associating healthier bodies because we have the ability to live healthier lives now. We just choose not to. We're not on the streets starving. We have the ability to have a realistic, what I would view a realistic body style is one that eats reasonably healthy meals every day, you know? And that's not what they view. They want to view a healthy body as someone who's 300 plus pounds, and that's not healthy.
Yeah. Well,
that's kind of off the rails. But
what's going on with the, let's see, I can't believe what's happening with the video game industry right now. I wonder why the video game industry is in turmoil. Oh, I don't know. Maybe because these are the kind of battles that you clowns are trying to fight.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's what's going on with the industry.
The primary person who's your client in the video game industry are young men, right?
Sure.
Or young to middle-aged men.
Yes.
Those are your primary. And in the past, what's the type of person that they would want to see in a video game would be either an idealized version of a man who is bigger and stronger than them so that they can role play that, right? Or an attractive female so that they can play as a female and the stereotype the whole time, right? And now we've got this whole generation, or this whole set of people fighting against that. I mean, you can argue whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing, but why then instead are you trying to push an unhealthy person to be the one that I'm having to play? You know, I don't expect a video game character to look like me. That's a new thing. I don't get that. Like, why all of a sudden does every video game have to have someone who represents me? When I play a game, I wasn't looking and say, oh, well, that guy looks just like me. I want to play it. That's not what I see. And I've never thought of that in the past. You know, playing Wolfenstein. You know, do I need to look like the guy? No. Playing Doom. Do I need to look like the guy? No. I don't really care what he looks like. It's the game and the action that should be the draw. And that seems to be going away, where now people care about whether or not there's certain races in there, whether or not there's enough men versus female. And part of the part thing that really got these people like the Sweet Baby issue is that they were turning around and saying, hey, look, we were able to not have any white men in our game. Look at us. Aren't we so good?
Yeah.
Well, that's racism. I mean, if you're saying, hey, look, it'd be like back in the day saying, hey, look, we're able to do something. There's no black people in it. Well, that'd be racist. Well, how is it different either way? Doesn't matter. You can fill in the blank with a different color or whether they're male or female, but it's still racist either way. And it's crazy that these people have made however many billion-dollar business you were saying off of this by being racist. It's just crazy to me.
In the ballpark of $15.6 million dollars or billion dollars. Yep. Yeah.
Billion dollars. So there's a lot of money in it.
Undoubtedly. I missed the train on this one. It would have been great to get into this.
Should have been a consultant.
I really screwed myself. Yeah, absolutely.
So there's an article from PC Gamer, and there's a lawyer. This article is written, and they mention a lawyer who's warning game developers about unlawful game design. And we remember when we mentioned this with Epic, they talked about with Fortnite dark patterns. And I know we brought it up at least a year ago. It may have been longer. But they got in trouble in a court case because of what they call dark patterns, where maybe when you're clicking through menus or after a game, they would put something that if you're just kind of hitting buttons to clear everything out, that you might select something and purchase something accidentally. And they claimed that they were doing that purposefully. Now, in here, they're taking it a slight different direction as well than what we talked about with Fortnite. But they said, could a game that makes you grind too much be unlawful? It's possible. That's what they're claiming. Now, here's the type of examples that they said in here. Having a warning of a product almost sold out, only two remaining when there's actually plenty in stock. A timer that counts down the seconds remaining on a limited 20% discount, but just resets after hitting zero. Or a request to send you email updates that can only be rejected by agreeing to a ridiculous accusation like, no thanks, I don't care about children. You know, those are what they're kind of viewing as dark patterns. But they say it's a design trick or practice that tricks or manipulate users into making different choices they would not otherwise have made, and that may cause harm.
How's this any different than when you're at the freaking bagel shop and they flip around their, you know, big tablet computer and say, oh, would you like to tip us? And would you like to donate, round up and donate your money to the, this, out of the, I don't understand the point of this. It's the same thing, is it not? Round up for McDonald's House or whatever. It's a pressure.
That's where I don't think at the end of my order they should say, would you like to round up your order for a good cause? Why are you even asking me? I know they do, but I don't think that should be even something they shouldn't be allowed to when you're going to them as a business like that. They shouldn't be allowed to push you, pressure you to do something like that. You could have a little thing on the side like they've always had where it says put coins in to help, you know, make a wish or whatever it is. Totally voluntary. They're not pushing you to do it, but it shouldn't be at the end. Oh, you want us to make some food for you in the back here where you can't see it? Do you want to give us a donation? I'm sure everything will be fine if you don't, but would you like to give us a donation?
Oh, man.
I mean, that's one of
my favorite things.
The way that it goes.
One of my favorite things is rejecting that, and I do it every single time. And I get great joy and glee out of it.
Yeah.
I am paying you to provide a service. You are providing the service at a fair market value.
Well, I think it's also crazy now that they want you to tip when you do a pickup order.
Like, yeah.
I'm preparing you food. You're not having to serve me in any way. You're not having to deal with me other than you put it in a bag so I can come and pick it up and I can walk out. Yet you want me to tip you for this? The tip's included in the
Now I do tip. Not only even outside of going out.
At a fast food place?
No, at a fast food place, no. But there's a Chinese place that I really like going to. I really enjoy their food. They've always done me right. They don't ask for it. I mean, if you've ever been into, and this
is
one of these.
Do you tip when you go pick up though, or when you dine in?
I'm saying this is one of these strip mall Chinese places, Brian, where the oil is dripping with grease.
Where you just don't want them to go away. You're like,
yes, I enjoy the place. I enjoy their food, so I don't care giving an extra $2 to $4, depending on how much my order is, or throwing a couple of bucks towards the restaurant. But here's the thing: the difference between that is all they do is hand me a tiny little receipt. Yeah. And it just says sign, and there's an area for a tip, and I do that. I go to Waffle House. I tip at Waffle House if I get good service. They don't pressure you into it there either. But they don't go like, oh, would you like to round up today? Because I just, took a coffee pump and went three times, put a lid on it, and went, order for Brian?
Yep.
And you want $3 for this?
Well, and that's kind of...
Are you kidding me?
Have you heard about how...
Brian, the self-checkout at one of the grocery store chains here has a tip thing. Self-checkout.
Which makes no sense.
Am I tipping
myself
because I'm the one doing
the work? Who's watching you to make
sure
you don't steal anything?
Give me the money. Let me tip myself. Take a dollar off my bill if I click the button. I'll feel better about it.
It's like how I feel with Humble Bundle. When I buy something from Humble Bundle, I always use our link. And then it'll give us part of our donation back.
You can't say that. That's against the terms of service.
Well, no, because it's under your name. No, but it makes it to where, you know, it gives to your cause. And it's like, I'm kind of tipping myself here, which is silly, but it goes towards I don't get it personally unless we go to PAX or.
We got to figure out something. We've got probably some serious money building up that we need to probably do something with at some point.
I know.
I'm kind of torn with this. This is a very popular thing online. Mm-hmm. As an end consumer, of course, I don't like a false sense of urgency. Yep. But Brian, I understand how marketing works. People are more likely to buy something. And by the way, I have a plug for not a sponsor for a Google Chrome. And I think it's a Firefox add-on as well. That's definitely a Firefox add-on. It's a plugin that you can install for Amazon. And let's see, what is it called? It's called Keepa, K-E-E-P-A. Have you ever used this service before?
Uh-uh.
So this is what Keepa does. This is really cool. It puts this graph
Shows you the price
product
over time.
Page, and you can view
I see something
the product
like it.
Page, you know, all, however long, and see if the Amazon, because Amazon is probably the worst offender of this, where it's like, oh, 15% off, and you're like, this 15% off is more expensive than the normal cost of the product.
Than what it was last week, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, so this plugin, it's called Keepa, K-E-E-P-A, is a great plugin to deal with this kind of stuff, because that's how
I get a lot of things on Amazon, so.
Yeah, as do I, and it's super helpful to see if this is actually a good deal or not, or if I'm just being screwed. But again, that's marketing. I mean, that's every Memorial Day sale, President's Day mattress sale, Valentine's Day, this, that, or the other. I mean, that's marketing. I don't know that I have an issue with it. I mean, you as the consumer need to decide whether you're... Now, if somebody is being actively deceptive, that's one thing. I mean, if you're talking about like scamming or being fraudulent, that's one thing. Yeah. If you're just using marketing to your ability to make money, I don't know.
So here's a website that they mention. It's called deceptive.design. So design's the end of the domain. And here's they have a list of the type of deceptive patterns that are used on websites, games, things like that. One is comparison prevention. So when they bundle and combine products in a way that makes it difficult for you to compare it to another product. Because you can't get a one-for-one comparison of the dollar for dollar. Another one is confirm shaming. So the user is emotionally manipulated into doing something that they would not otherwise have done. Maybe they, would you like to, you know, help the children in Roundup today?
Are these relationships?
Of course I don't want to help the children.
Are these tips for relationships as well?
as well. Disguised ads. So users mistakenly believe that they are clicking on an interface element or native content, but it's actually an advertisement. Fake scarcity. And that's where they say, oh, there's only, you know, five left. You need to get one before they're out, when they have a huge supply. Fake social proof. So that's where they're talking about fake reviews, testimonials, things like that, saying a product is good. Fake urgency, saying that you have 20 minutes. This is something that a lot of software has done in the past, where they have that countdown timer. Fake urgency, where you're pressured to complete the action before the countdown timer. You know, making a fake limitation, but that, you know, you can always go and order it. There is no limitation. Forced action. User wants to do something, but they're required to do something else in order to go and do what they're wanting to. Hard to cancel, to where, you know, once you sign up, they don't get, you have to call to cancel, or you have to do all these different steps when it only was one click they got you signed up in the first place. Hidden costs, you know, and that's where at checkout, all of a sudden, they have all these fees. DoorDash loves to do those sort of things. Hidden subscriptions, where you've gone into something thinking it was a one-time payment, but then a year later, all of a sudden, they're charging the same card again. Nagging, where they keep on asking you, do you want to support this cause, or do you want to do this? Obstruction, you know, putting barriers into, maybe making it hard to finish something or to get information. Pre-selection, selecting something that you normally wouldn't select. So now that for me is more like marketing. I have less of an issue with pre-selection as long as it's easy for me to select another option. Sneaking, how users drawn into a transaction on false pretense before pertinent information is maybe hidden or delayed from them being able to see it. Tricking them with wording, you know, having misleading wording, and then visual interference, where it's not presented in a clear manner. You know, and they kind of hide a lot of the details. So those are the different types. And in video games, you know, you do see nowadays, especially with more of the buy this pack, buy these coins, unlock this, and the whole microtransaction that we culture that we have now, these are bigger problems. Where before, when you bought a video game and you owned the video game and there was no funds going towards it after that point, these things weren't an issue because they weren't trying to figure out how to, it all comes down to money. They're trying to figure out how to get money out of you, and they use these tactics to do it. And it's something that's happened because of microtransactions. And so, you know, there are solutions. Go get games that don't have microtransactions. I always hate when they deal with these things in a legal way. But I get frustrated when it happens in games, but, you know, should the law be able to step in and say, make a game change?
Absolutely.
You're the one choosing to play the game.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And, you know, you went through that whole list, and obviously I don't like some of the things on there, but I don't necessarily have an, you know, there's a couple of things that, that might kind of rub me the wrong way, but most of this stuff is marketing, I don't really have an issue with that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a smart consumer, and I'm not trying to be pompous or arrogant about it, but this stuff just doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
They're hard to cancel. That's an issue. Hidden costs where it's, those things are things, but fake scarcity with some sort of countdown clock, it's a marketing tactic. I mean,
Have to have some
self-control.
To not sit and do that. One thing they have on here, darkpattern.games.
Yeah, that's what I was showing.
If you're, rather than making it illegal or trying to use the law to prevent it, just use information. Here's a website that is giving them information to where if you don't want to get involved in a game that you think is going to be a big grind or cost you a lot of money, go to a website like this, Day of the Tentacle Remastered. It's a pay for it once, and then you'll have the game and you can play it as much as you want. There are no other charges. Now, if you look at all these idle games and, you know, whatever MMORPGs that or Star Trek Fleet Command, these are all going to be ones that use microtransactions.
Sure, they're free games.
One thing that you could do is when you see an ad on Twitter, for example, or X, for a game, well, a lot of times now they use the community notes to say, hey, this game, you know, what you're seeing in the ad is not the game that's being played. You know, they're two different games. And so that's where they'll turn around and educate. And so you can make that decision. That's, I think, much better. Or if you look at the comments on it, a lot of times you'll have people saying, hey, this game, you know, has these bugs. You know, once you get to a certain point, it's a huge grind unless you put money into it. Educate yourself. They don't need the law to step in. Just instead of jumping into every game and getting mad when you start to get involved in it and then all of a sudden it gets hard or it starts costing you money, go to a website like this and find a game that matches what your desire is, because some people like pay-to-win games because, you know what, they have extra money and they can make a game easier without having to put all the effort in. For people that want that type of a game, I mean, Raid Shadow Legends, I play that stupid thing still.
Still? I thought you were done with Raid.
I don't put money into it, but I just...
How much money did you put
into Raid? It's their fifth anniversary. Back in the day, I put thousands of dollars into Raid. Thousands.
But let me ask you this, and I'm not trying to shame you for your ridiculous patterns. did you feel that you were being arm twisted into doing those things? I mean,
no. Okay. I had the extra income at the time to blow if I wanted to, and I found it was a fun game to play.
And so you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it, yeah. And so that's where I made that decision. Yeah, exactly. If I felt like, oh, this is a pay to win game, you can play it without paying to win. It's purely the only reason that people feel like it's a pay to win game is because they see other people that are ahead of them and they don't like that. there's no push to be at any level in anywhere in the game as far as where your character's at. Where your account is in the game, that's where you're at. And you can play and continue to progress over time slowly, which is the game, or you can toss a bunch of money at it and kind of do a fake push forward to get progress. And that's what the pay-to-win aspect of it is. If you don't like that type of a game, go to one that's a flat cost or totally free game, which it's hard to find a truly free game that's any good nowadays.
Well, of course.
Go pay for one.
Yeah, but why?
That's the beauty of a pay game.
Why is it hard to find a completely free game, Brian?
Because it takes resources to make a good game.
Thanks.
And so you can pay money for a game to get a good game, or you could turn around and be a part of the ones that are the pay-to-win ones, which they continue to improve their games usually with the funds that are put into it. And so it's a game that'll last a long time. First, you know, because I've been playing Raid for years, but it's only possible because of how big of a grind it is. And if they took away some of the aspects, I don't know as many people would play. I don't think they'd have nearly the audience if they took out the pay to win.
Sure.
So obviously people want it. And that's what I think these people aren't understanding.
If it wasn't working, then they
wouldn't do it.
Wouldn't be doing it. Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, as we're sitting here right now, I mean, I'm literally gambling on sports on my phone. I mean, you talk about deceptive practices. Like, I mean, it's just what it is. But I don't feel like
anybody's holding
a gun to
risk,
my head. Yeah, of course.
And the cost.
Yeah, I mean, I'm betting 6-leg parlays on NBA tonight. I don't know that damn thing about NBA.
It's 50-50, right? I'm sure.
That's not 50-50. No, I mean, these are ridiculous odds I'm taking. But there's a good profit. There's a good profit potential. So we'll take that there. You know, I've had this stance for quite some time. I've never been one of these big anti-microtransaction guys. I do have a relatively addictive personality. But I've never fallen into the microtransaction thing. I have an addictive personality on things that I enjoy doing and things that I want to do.
Yeah.
If I don't want to spend money in a game, which I'm trying to think if I've ever done, I mean, outside of maybe a couple of season passes for a game or two, I don't know that I've ever put a dollar into, I know I've never put a dollar into a mobile game. I don't know if I've put any money into PC games outside of DLCs or season passes. I'm just not going to. Now, if there was a game came along, Brian, that I loved, like when I was actively playing Call of Duty, I would buy their season pass and it wasn't an issue.
Yeah.
And so if there's
and
a
that's
game
the
that
thing
I'm
I agree
loving,
with more,
then great. Let
and
me
I
make
think
my own
that
damn
the
decision.
Season pass system is a great way to finance a game over time.
Sure.
I like that. I like the season pass method more than the microtransaction method.
I would
because
agree.
You can sit there and get benefits that you find valuable because you enjoy the game, whether it's skins or, you know, whatever perks they give you in the season pass. There's a limited cost potential. Yet you have the option to help fund the game by continually subscribing to a season pass. And I just wish that more games would adopt that standard, because if I really enjoy your game, give me a thing to where if I'm willing to grind my time into it, that with a season pass, I'll get a little bit better reward from my time. That to me is not pay to win. That's just, you know, that's a way to pay a little bit extra money to get a little bit better reward for the same amount of time. And if it's going to be a free game, there's got to be money coming into it at some point. If you're going on and saying download this free game, they're going to get money out of you somehow, so you have to go into it with that understanding. Nothing in life is truly free.
Unless it's
not that's
free
produced.
Money. Unless it's free money from the federal government.
Money from the government, of course.
To hire developers. Yeah, that money's free. Yeah. No other money is free. However.
Yeah.
Well, this is a good little talk. We should touch this again. I think this is kind of an interesting topic. Brian, as always, appreciate it. Where can folks find you online?
Well, if you want to find me on X, you can find me at Boise Computer, and of course, if you want to find me on Gabgetter, Truth Social, other places, at Brian Aldridge, and of course my blog, biteoftech.com, and then go to our website to find Nick and I. If you go to join our server on Discord, that's a great place to maybe ask us questions if you need to go hold of us directly. On there, we also have 11 ARC servers that have been running for years now continuously. That's a great place to play that. We have a politics section in there and a show news channel. So maybe you want to submit some topics, things that that you think we should be discussing on this live show. Just toss links into that channel and we'll review it before we do a next episode. If you want to watch the show live, you can do that through Twitch or YouTube. Of course, after the fact, we upload our videos to Rumble. We also upload our audio forms of the podcast to the lower right-hand side. A lot of different places that you can do that. And so if you pick whichever one is the best for your service or your device, and then we'll have had the show notes uploaded at that point. So you can click on the particular one and view the audio and video players built into that page, or whatever notes that we put in there for links, for topics, and for source material. We also have, if you want to go watch the video stream that they had on there, I'm sure we can, I don't know if we have, I think it's built into that PC Gamer. Good luck getting it to play with the ad blocker. But we got all the different things that we referenced throughout the show there. If you want to support us, there's a support menu option up top, or you can go to infectionpodcast.com/support.
Yes, you can. Brian, greatly appreciated. Thanks as always. And we will do it again next week. Folks, you can follow me on X at Nicholas M. Craig. You can check out my day job. I talk a lot for this show. I talk for Monday through Friday for my job. I do a bunch of other podcasts. A lot of stuff going on. You can find all of that at nickcraig.com. As Brian mentioned, if you missed any portion of today's program, I highly encourage you head on over to our website. I'm going to deceive you into heading on over to infectionpodcast.com. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.